ask your thought now to the portion that we read from Luke's Gospel in chapter 10 and reading at the verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Luke chapter 10 at the verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This little family that dwelt at Bethany was a very highly and favoured family, as they were permitted to entertain our Lord on several occasions, as are recorded here in the Word of God. They all appreciated this great privilege. I'm sure of that, from what the Word of God tells us in different places concerning them. But without being prejudiced, was it not Mary who made the wisest use of it? Martha, she was one who sought to serve the Lord with her very best. Even here, she was concerned because Mary was sitting at his feet and she was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. We know what the Lord did for Brother Lazarus. And again, in John's Gospel, in chapter 12, you'll find there that he was one that sat at the table with the Lord after he had been raised from the dead. What a favoured family this was to have these visits from time to time from the Lord Jesus. And Mary was full of love to her Lord. See her posture in the text. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She didn't weary in listening, in attending to those words that Jesus would speak. Mary was full of love to the Lord Jesus. We read of her on more than one occasion anointing him. Sometimes by condemnation from those who looked on, but she stood firm to show her love. And most certainly she showed her love to him by her attending to his word. She was a wise woman. She was a saintly woman. And our Lord commended her for this choice or this method of service. And so I want to look at this little portion tonight, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, and to see these postures of this dear handmaid Mary. I want to see her and see in her love at leisure. Love at leisure. I want to see her at love in lowliness, sitting at his feet. I want to see her love listening. I want to observe something of love possessing. So those are just two or three thoughts that may grow as we begin to speak upon them with you here tonight. So verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. As rational men and women, and in this time state, there are those things that should rightly occupy our time and our attention. The time of daylight, the hours of day, are the time when we should be found in work, in service, whatever occupation we may be in. What our hand finds to do, let us do it with diligence. We know that when the Lord God created man, he gave him a rest day. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, the seventh day shall be a day of rest. We recognise the different manner of work in our day and in our own situations, but principally, as spoken in the word of God, the hours of the day are for men to work. I know there are situations in our present day which certainly involves night work, and other days or other hours are given for our rest. But find here that here, when the Lord turned in, even with this little family, which he does on more than one occasion at Bethany, how welcomed he was. Here would we, in our day, if the Lord were to come amongst us, would we make him as welcome as what these did? They each showed their love and their welcome in a different way. But how would we respond? How would we react? Would we say, not just this present? There's something that needs to be done. There's a certain matter that I can't leave. We don't find any of those excuses from this little family of Bethany whenever the Lord turned in with them. Would we feel to find ourselves quite at home with Jesus our Lord? You know, the word of God tells us that we should not be unmindful, forgetful to entertain strangers. What welcome do you give to a stranger on your door? should show that readiness, that willingness, whoever they may be. But here with Mary, as she came into this home, she sat at his feet. And we would know something of what Mary knew. To be free from worldly cares, from the general things of the day. In those things, may we know what it is to leave all in his hand. If he, and I speak as he would have walked on this earth, if he made the effort to come to their home, ought we not to make the effort to entertain, to show our love to him? We want to be free from all worldly care, all that would hinder true intercourse with him. One of our poets puts a line, I think it's in one of our books, "I will be at thy feet, near thy wounded side, feel how thy heart doth beat, and view the purple tide, but trace the wonders of thy death, and sing thy love with every breath." There may be those times when we feel something of the burden of the souls of men. And if our Lord has called us to that work, let us be diligent in that work. And may we know what that is, to know this posture that Mary knew here, to be sitting at Jesus' feet. Hearing, listening to what he is saying. How he teaches us. How he instructs us. And here, when we know what that is to be in his presence, what an opportunity to bring before him those souls that have been committed to our charge. It's a solemn responsibility here to have a care of souls. And we cannot cope that in our own strength, in our own ways. In natural things of time, men will confer one with another the best way to handle a matter. Here we can't do that with the souls of men. We have to know what that is to have communion with our Lord. The Lord would show us what to do and how to do. And we would prize, we would truly value those seasons when we can sit at the feet of Jesus to enjoy this happy leisure time which he provides for us, as we may muse upon those things, those themes which he reveals unto us. Sure, we may be in that sense first partakers of the fruits, but we're not to keep those things to ourselves. We are to set these things before those things that he reveals to us, we are to speak those things before whom we stand, before whom we serve, even as servants of the Lord. We never read of Mary wearying of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha may complain. Lazarus may be absent on occasions, but Mary's there. There's such a warmth, such a love in her heart to her Lord. And why? Because of that great work that he has done for his own dear people. A work over which he said, "It is finished." A work which has to be accepted. A work that we shall prove abidingly effectual. And hear this, will warm our hearts, it will draw our affections still to be at his dear feet. You look what he has given us. Look at the gifts that he has given us. And hear what is yet promised for us. Do we know what it is to sit at his dear feet? He has said that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. The apostle also tells us, he that spared not his own son, Romans 8 at verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Further down, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul could address these things to those at Rome because Paul himself had proved these things. Paul had known what it had been to be at the feet of Jesus, where this dear handmaid was, at his feet. Let us, without fear, without anxiety, enjoy this true leisure with Jesus. We're not encouraged to laziness. We are not encouraged to idleness. But we are in leisure to love, to serve, to worship, to commune, and follow my thought, to imitate. We shall never imitate perfectly the Lord Jesus. But he is our example. And he has said, follow me. We have in this volume before us the Word of God. And that great Word is an unalterable Word. It is an unchangeable word. And all things in our life in our circumstances must measure up to this Word of God. This world will never change. The Lord has said it won't change. Men may seek to change it, but it still stands. And here is the Word that we've got to walk to, and the Word that we've got to walk by. And how sweet that is when the Lord himself draws near sometimes and speaks to us and encourages us even to continue not only to listen to this word, but to love that word, and let it be first and foremost with us each. We come to the close of the chapter. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Look then at Mary's love in lowliness. Where is her posture? She's at his feet. Friend, may we know what that is, to imitate Mary in this posture, in lowliness, at his feet. Can you say unto yourself, this is the place that you would choose to be, at the feet of Jesus? Mary wasn't concerned so much as being a busy housewife. She wasn't so much concerned for management. If Martha would like to do these home duties, let her do them. But she must be where her Lord is. Do you find this time and time again as you read of Mary, of these Bethany trio? She is at his feet. She is at his feet. Friend, what would bring us to his feet? What would bring us to his feet? If we were conscious of our own unworthiness, our own unfitness, this should bring us to the feet of our Lord. We should acknowledge what we are. And seek to commit our way unto him. Friend, there's no better place, there's no better spot that we can do that than to come to his feet. It is evident that here Mary was a true disciple. I'm not speaking of her as being one of the apostles, one of the 12 disciples, but she was a follower of her Lord. Are we following our Lord? Remember how he says, in everything, with prayer, thanksgiving. We prayed over matters today that have been in our life. The Lord has seen all. The Lord knows all. Has he seen us on our knees? Has he seen us idling away our time? friend, that day is approaching when we each and all shall have to give an account of all things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. We receive blessings as the Lord grants them unto us. But how do we receive them? Do we receive them in this posture of lowliness at Jesus' feet? Do we truly think of what we are, who we are, what we are doing? If we had that word more constantly before us, "Thou God seest me," wouldn't that have a greater effect upon us? It is not only what we are in the sight of God, but it is what is the Lord to me. What is the Lord Jesus to me? We desire that he would bless us with his condescending love. We desire that he would draw near and reveal himself to us. Are there those times that I say when he does permit you to be found at his feet, when you can shut off from all other things, hence vain intruding world depart, no more allure or vex my heart, let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone, and that at the feet of Jesus. Look at Mary's love here as she listens, which also sat at Jesus' feet. She could not have heard had she not been willing to sit at leisure before him. She was content, the lowly place, to sit at his feet. Here, is that not a desire in your life? I would be at thy feet. I know the poet goes on to say, or at thy wounded side. There are those things that the gracious soul will truly long for, but let us be found at his feet. This is where Mary was, and here she could listen. There was nothing to distract, nothing to rob. She would be with him. See how the Lord again says to her, "Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Hearer, is that your choice? To sit at his feet, to hear all that he would say, all that he would speak. What favoured times they were when our Lord came into that home. I must just make a reference here to John in chapter 12. There he was 6 days before the Passover. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Mary, she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. This was Mary's love to be with her Lord and to be at his feet. And this very costly ointment, she anointed his feet with it and wiped those feet with the hair of her head. What a spot she loved to be in. At his feet she could listen to what Jesus says in his word. Do we listen to what he says in his word? In creation, in providence, do we listen to what he speaks by his Spirit into our soul? Let us be found at his feet, so near. You can listen well when you're near to the speaker, can't you? You catch the tones, the accents, even motions that impress your soul with those things that are spoken to you. She was only listening to himself. She was near enough to be, I was going to say, reading his heart. She would know by movement, by motions. She would hear and be encouraged to obey. She was listening. She wasn't letting other thoughts intrude. She wasn't letting other unbeliefs rise up. Those things can be laid aside. She's at the feet of her Lord. I hear this is the place where we want to be. If we want to know what it is to fall down before him in the glory and to crown him Lord of all, what do we know of being at his feet now in this day of grace? Listening and hearing him bidding us what to do. But do we do it? Do we say, that's not necessary? We can never say that of anything that our Lord speaks. Sure. Whatever he bids us, we are to do. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, that doesn't seem particular. That doesn't seem so necessary to do. I agree with it, but I don't see that it's necessary for me to do it. You dare speak like that before your Lord, do you? But here are how many there are today who act like that before their Lord. They will not bow, they will not yield to what God has told us in his word. But how sweet, how instructive, how true is this good part. Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And lastly, love in possession. This is what Mary knew. Love in possession. She had obtained her Lord
His love, His presence, His word, His fellowship. And here can she can sit at His feet in full enjoyment to the delight of her soul. I have reason to think that some of you here tonight have known something of this posture over your pilgrimage. Sure, you may want to know it again and to know more of it. Have you had that sweet foretaste? Have you enjoyed that love in possession? This is what Mary had. She had her Lord's promise and that she would not be robbed of it. She's chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She had in this one thing her soul's necessity. Give me Christ, or else I die. And here she could sit and sit in perfect satisfaction. Friend, have you known this? Are there those spots, those places in your wilderness journey that you don't forget? Have you raised here an Ebenezer stone? Have you raised here a Bethel? Surely the Lord is in this place. Jacob had to say, and I knew it not. But he knew what it was to return to his Bethel on another occasion. Have you got a Bethel in your life? When the Lord speaks, He fulfills that which He speaks. So if the Lord has spoken a promise to you, that promise will be fulfilled. You may think it ought to be fulfilled early in the Lord's sees fit, but the promise will be fulfilled. We have need of patience. The Lord's promise to this dear handmaid was that she should never lose that better part. She'll not be taken away. Even her sister, in her complaint of her attitude, that never robbed Mary of this portion that she had here sitting at His feet. Oh, to be more with Jesus. This is true life. This, I say, is true life. Oh, to hear Him more. We should prove that to be true service. She sat at His feet and heard His word. Oh, to love Jesus more. This is true treasure. This shall not be taken away. Once in Him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Oh, to abide with Jesus. Don't dream to go on beyond Him. Your time may always be ready, but His time is not yet. Don't go beyond Him. But get near to Him. Get near to His feet. As you read through the Gospels, many a time you read how Jesus sat to preach. He took the book. He read from the book. He closed the book. He sat down. And then He spake. I know we have the habit, I can use that word lightly, of standing to preach. But often the Lord Jesus sat to preach. whether he's in the temple, whether he's on the mountain, whether he's among the highways and hedges, he's sat to preach. The opportunity to come to his feet. Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. May we know, in each one of us, in personal experience, what that is. To be at the feet of Jesus. If we are choosing this better part, which was Mary's choice, we should know what that is. To be at his feet, to hear his voice, to love him, to give him our all, because he has graciously said, and it applies to each of his dear people, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He may hide his face for a moment, but he will appear again. He's never seen you for the last time here. Never. Once in him forever. Thus, the eternal covenant.
Evening 420. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. 420.